is going on, people of the interwebs? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 7, otherwise known as Episode number 32 of the Reverend Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
What's up? It's Neil Huntley.
And we're so happy that you've come back to join us for some more Reverend Babbling.
Yes, sir. Hey, are we how reverent are we going to be today, Cody? Because we all, you know, sometimes we kind of stray away.
That's true.
Well, we stay reverent when it comes to the Devo.
Yeah.
But when it comes to our sports opinions, sometimes we're not as reverent as they could be.
Are you trying to kind of hint at something that I may have said last week concerning Corey Kluber and the Yankees?
Yes, a little bit. But, we all have those biased opinions, so that's all good.
Well, just to let you in on a little secret, Neil, I almost edited that out.
Oh, you did?
But I left it in just to show that, yes, I was...
Being a human?
I was being a human, and I was not being reverent in that situation. Plus, when you were talking about it later in the podcast, you kind of said it in a way that it would have sounded awkward if I didn't edit out, so
true.
I kind of had to keep it in.
So it's my fault you had to keep it in there.
Sure. You kind of take that whatever you want want to. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I left that in there just to show that, yes, I am indeed a human and I can be irreverent.
Yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
At times.
I understand. Well, I think we're too far in for a rebrand, okay?
Yeah.
So we're just going to keep it as is and just try to stay as true as we can. But, you know, it'll be all right because you can't talk sports without picking on somebody, you know?
Yeah,
so
true.
You can pick on somebody still be respectful. So, yeah, and that's what we're doing. So,
absolutely.
What's new with you, dude?
Well, let's see. I'm obviously still working on school classes. I'm trying to finish up this last semester before I get my associate's degree. So that's getting pretty close to being done. I'm about halfway through, so one half down, almost. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. In other news, I did my second service at the lift at Indian Trail.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. I was changed from the first time I did, because the first time I did a handheld camera behind the stage. But for this second service, I was on a tripod camera, you know, behind the whole congregation. So I got to get wider shots of the band and worship team and all that kind of stuff when they sang. And the pastor, whenever he said his message and all that kind of stuff. So I basically stood for an hour and a half twice during two services. You know, so it's pretty safe to say that my legs were pretty sore afterwards. But as far as the experience and everything, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. You know, like it was obviously something new and different compared to my first time, but I really liked it.
Yeah, you didn't come home and complain constantly about your legs, did you?
I did not.
About your arm the first night?
I did not. So I learned from...
So you learned from your own devotion.
Uh-huh.
Well, good job.
Yes, I did. Yes, for sure.
I'm proud of you.
That's... Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
But other than that, I've basically just been watching some... Boston Red Sox play some spring training a little bit, you know, trying to get back in that mindset of Major League Baseball coming back up. And I've also been watching some Hornets games, and I saw a very dramatic one this past weekend against the Kings. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you know, and then obviously the game against the Trailblazers wasn't the best, but hey.
That's right. And we'll talk about that in sports in a little while.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, that pretty much covers what's happened to me this week. So, man, how about you?
So you say you've been watching Red Sox too?
Yes,
I have. There's far better things on television to watch.
Like what?
I'll keep that silence in there too, because you were trying to think. There's plenty of things to watch. You know, you could watch. Let's see. There's all these great TV shows. I mean, I'm sure Forrest Gump is on some television, some station. You know, I mean, there's probably. I could count, maybe. Give me a few minutes, which you don't have to give me on here.
Okay.
But I can name a lot of things. I mean, there's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. There's anything but Red Sox, baseball.
Man. Oh, come on, dude.
So I'm going against what I just said at the beginning.
I was about to say, come on now, man. You're talking about me being irreverent from last week. No, I'm just kidding.
I just had to catch up with you. That's all it was. But, yeah, I'll tell you what's new with me. We had my little boy's birthday over the weekend.
Oh, yes, you did.
Graham turned 2 on Sunday.
2 years old.
Yeah, and we had his party on Saturday. It's just a little small party, just our family members, really, and one of his little buddies that is the kid of – one of my close friends growing up, it's her son. So,
they
got to come. We had a few kids there. You know, it wasn't a ginormous party, but
it
was a good one. It went by really smooth. Had some good pizza from Papa Joe's down in Wadesboro, which is the best pizza on this side of the Mississippi River.
Okay.
And, I'll stand by that until the day I die. And Graham got him a new tractor for his birthday.
Nice.
One of those little Power Wheels tractors.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fun to see. And he's kind of gun-shy about it, kind of not. Kind of depends on what kind of mood he's in, whether he wants to drive it or not.
I hear
But we got it out Sunday afternoon on his actual birthday, and he put rocks in the trailer, and he was ready to just haul
stuff.
It was cool to see, man.
Nice, man. That's pretty awesome.
So we had that, and then I had the day off on Monday because of the rain.
Right.
And I said, I'll go get some things done, and then I'll go to the gym. I knew I needed to go grocery shopping, things like that. And I said, well, I'm going to go up to that Second and Charles place that I've talked about on here before. I said at first on my text that it was a nerd parade, which that's accurate too, but it's a nerd's paradise.
Yes.
You know? They're not paying me to say this, but they got books, they got comic books, got all these
a whole bunch of stuff, all the
T-shirts, figurines, action figures,
video games, and obviously
they have used video games, which is the reason why I want to go in there.
Yes,
and I found two gems yesterday.
Two gems, okay. Yes.
So the first one I found was NASCAR Thunder 2003,
okay,
with Dale Jr. on the cover.
Nice.
Okay, and this was back when they couldn't have beer sponsorships on video games,
right?
Because
this was
rated E game. So where it would say Budweiser on his car, it said Dale. I thought it's kind of fun. And like Rusty Wallace, he had Miller Lite, and I know I'm talking about beer on this podcast. I'm not saying to do it. I'm just saying, sponsors. Yeah. Rusty Wallace had a Miller Lite car. On his, it just says Rusty. It's in the font of what would have been the actual sponsorship.
Okay.
That makes sense. But you see that kind of makes you chuckle.
Yeah.
But so I remember I had that game on the Nintendo GameCube when I was a kid.
Oh, the GameCube. Okay?
So that's how old I am. I remember having a GameCube, and then I found this other game that is still probably the best football game of all time. Okay.
I think I know the one you're thinking about.
It's got Terrell Owens on the cover.
Yep.
It's
on the Eagles.
Yeah, on the Eagles. It's ESPN NFL 2K5.
Yes.
And 16 years later, it's still the best football game ever put out.
And I'm pretty sure, too, wasn't that the last year that you can make NFL games before the EA?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that was 2K's last NFL game because they had the All-Pro football game.
That came out in
2K8 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I had that, too. That's a really fun game.
Oh, yeah.
But it misses that feel of a real football game because it's fake teams with legends and made up people. It's still a fun game, but it doesn't beat 2K5.
Mm-mm.
Okay. And 2K5 is way better than Madden 21. Okay.
Yeah.
Now the graphics are not the best, but a 15 year old game.
I was about to say.
You're playing it on a 360 through a 4K TV. It's not going to look too great. Okay. Especially because that game is originally made for Xbox, just like the Xbox.
Yes.
That big old ugly thing.
The
that
original
wasn't
Xbox.
Xbox. Yeah. Like it fell from outer space or something, And so, but I mean, I played a game. I started the season last night with the Panthers, who have Jake DeLome, Steven Davis, Deshaun Foster.
Obviously, Steve Smith.
Steve Smith, Moosin Muhammad, Kerry Colbert. I keep going on. They got Peppers, Buckner, Jenkins, Mike Rucker. I mean, all the nostalgia is just there, And when I found out that those games were backwards compatible on my old 360, I was like, oh, I got to go try to find these. And I went right up 2nd and Charles, and bang, bang, I was in and out in 5 minutes because I found them. I was like, yes, I couldn't believe I just found them
easily. Like, yes, I found them.
Because you can't just go in a GameStop and find those. They're not going to sell Xbox games like that.
Well, with GameStop, they only sell the current and the past-gen consoles.
Yep.
So, whenever they released the Xbox Series X and PS5, they started getting rid of all the PS3 and Xbox 360 games because that's the...
Yep.
Just
taking up space.
Right, of course. And, of course, those games have been out for, 10, 15 years, so those games are already old. But, they only have the current and the previous gen out there. And, and obviously with the releases of the new consoles, which... for some reason, no one can still get, including myself. I'm still kind of upset about that.
What are you talking about? I have one.
Well, yes. I'm very upset about that.
I may or may not have been sitting there waiting for the time for it to be available. I'm not proud about that, but I am proud that I have one, okay?
I bet you are.
I'm so proud that I'm playing Xbox 360 right now, so there's that.
Yeah.
I'll say this, one more thing about this, and then we can get on to the Devo. But like I said, I started a franchise with the Panthers last night.
Right.
And played one game. Now, this game's so old, I don't have Super Sim on it. Okay.
Nope.
If you play, you got to play the whole game. Okay.
Yes.
And if you quit, you sim to the end or you just lose all your progress. So week one was against the Packers. So think about it. It's 2004. Who's quarterback for the Packers 2004?
Brett Favre.
Yes, Brett Favre. And so that team's stacked.
Yeah.
Too. And I took that game all the way to overtime and had the final possession in overtime with 2 seconds left. And John Casey missed a field goal. So we tied. I ended it at tie my first franchise games. That was a little aggravating. I felt like I stayed up late for nothing. So maybe we'll try to get week two in. I can't remember who we got. It's either the Cardinals or the Chiefs. So we'll see who's all on there.
Are the Cardinals or the Chiefs? So I'm trying to remember who.
Trent Green is a quarterback for the Chiefs at that time. I'm
Trent
not sure.
Green?
I think, and don't hold me to this, I'm pretty sure Josh McCown is the quarterback for the Cardinals.
That would make sense, though, because I think that's when he actually was a starter in the NFL with the Cardinals. Yeah. Yeah.
Because what year were you born, Cody?
02.
Yeah. So this is when you're 2 years old. Yes. It says 2K5 is made in 2004. But I mean, yeah, yes. The nostalgia there is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm loving every bit of it. So, but yeah. But enough about video games and enough about beer sponsorships on race cars. Sorry about that, Cody.
No, it's all good, man.
Let's get on to the Double Play Diva. I mean, I'm excited for today's show. I got my new Bojangles hat on, thanks to you.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Glad you like it.
You know, it looks kind of funny on my head right now because I got an afro going on. So, you know, if the Amber Huntley Salon is open tonight at my house, maybe I can get a haircut.
Nice.
I'll see if she has an opening. I don't know. She might have to, you know, squeeze me in. Who knows? But let's get on to the show, Cody. I'm excited.
Sounds awesome, man. Let's do it. All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And this week, it'll be me presenting this week's Devo. And for this week's topic, I just kind of want to talk about, you know, something that we should all kind of be reminded of every once in a while.
Sure.
You know, because life happens and circumstances happen like that. And that is the fact that God is always working.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk about that, you know, because there are obviously a lot of times that we go through different circumstances in our life where just, you know, like I said, either life happens or just things that happen that just kind of, you know, and like whether saved and have been a Christian for a while and you're going through your Christian walk, you know, or even if you've never had like a relationship with God, but, you know, maybe you've heard of God through, you know, like either friends or family or just through, you know, going out life in general, you know, it's like, you know, we'll have times where we'll be walking through like little pits or valleys and we're just kind of wondering why we go through what we go through and we just don't see God working in our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there are several verses throughout scripture, you know, where it says, you know, God works things out together for good, or God's always with you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and things like that, you know, like, which is obviously true. And it's stuff that we should definitely put our trust in every day, you know, but there are obviously times where we got through our life, me included, where you'll just be going through hard times. And you just don't really see God at work, whether it's through a prayer not being answered or just hard times or things like that. But, you know, but I just want to obviously just kind of talk about this again to kind of remind, you know, whoever's listening to this podcast, but also to remind myself that this is never the case and God is always working even when we don't see it sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a story that I wanted to read in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And for those of you who have grown up in church like me, this is the part. I mean, just kind of give you a little bit of a backstory to kind of what's been going on. So in the book of Exodus, the people of Israel are living in Egypt, you know, because whenever, you know, because remember at the end of Genesis, when Joseph lived in Egypt, at the end of the book, he invited his father and his brothers to live down there in Egypt with him, you know, because, you know, during that time, obviously Joseph was second in command of Egypt and,
right,
you know, Joseph was second in command of Egypt, and the relations between the Israelites and, or Joseph and his family, which eventually became the people of Israel, you know, they got along pretty well, you know, but then after a while, after Joseph died and once the people of Israel kept increasing in number gradually throughout the years, the Pharaoh kind of got worried because there were so many Israelites in his country. He was worried they were going to overthrow his kingdom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did is he ended up taking the people of Israel into bondage and forced them to work it as
slaves. Yeah,
as slaves. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously this wasn't a really short time. I mean, they were under slavery through, you know, for a really long time. And, you know, like they were under slavery from Egypt for a very long time. And I'm sure during that time, the people of Israel were, as time went on, when they were under slavery, I'm sure they were thinking that, oh man, what does God think of us? He's not taking us out of this trouble that we're in. We don't really see an end in sight to this. So, you know, I'm sure they were obviously having doubts about God, and they didn't see him trying to help them out of this situation. You know, so obviously I'm sure they had doubts of that too. You know, and then as you read on in the book, you hear about Moses being born, you know, and he was put in the river as a baby, and eventually he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised as an Egyptian, and he grew up learning their culture and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, and then eventually he learned that he was a Jew, and he was one of the people that the Egyptians were enslaving. And after this, and obviously throughout some other circumstances, I don't want to spend too much time on the backstory. I know I already have, but make a long story short, you know, Moses eventually leaves Egypt, and he spends the next 40 years basically being a shepherd, just watching sheep and just trying to keep a low profile, not doing anything major. But then in chapter 3 of Exodus, God comes and talks to him through a burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of where I wanted to pick up the story. So this is God talking to Moses through the burning bush.
All right.
And, you know, and obviously Moses is explaining to God about all what I just talked about. And this is basically God's response to that.
Okay. So it's Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 7. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt."
Yeah, so basically through this conversation with the burning bush, with Moses, God's basically saying, hey, listen, I've seen that my people have been oppressed by the Egyptians, and I am going to get them out of it, and I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to lead you back to Egypt, and I'm going to, through you, eventually lead these people out of Egypt and going to the land that I promised you. You read that further, that's what God says, you know, and, you know, and obviously once you read further in the book, eventually the people of Israel do leave Egypt, and they eventually get to the promised land that God had promised them.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. God was still working.
That's right.
You know, spoiler alert. God was still working.
And he was working while those people were enslaved.
Right. Absolutely.
He says it. You know, I saw it. I've been here. I've been watching.
Right.
Know? And going back to, like, you talked about Joseph too. We talked about on Sunday night how Joseph was in prison 2 years after the cupbearer and the baker situation. And, you know, he told the cupbearer to remember him when he got back to his position, therefore, so he could get out of prison too.
Right.
And the cupbearer forgot all about him. Well, claimed he did, you know.
Right.
And then he was in there two more years.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's always working.
Yes, and this story just serves as a good reminder to me, you, and everyone listening to this podcast that even though there are times that we'll go through in our lives where we just don't understand why we're going through what we go through, or we don't understand what God's doing, just wait and be patient, because God's timing is always perfect and God is always working.
That's right. And yeah, I couldn't say anything more to add to that. That's spot on, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, it is sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is
the weekly score. There you go.
We don't have too much to talk about this week. It was a pretty simple week. yeah. in the world of sports. But we got a few things we can mention.
Of course.
And if you don't mind, Cody, I'll start out this week.
I do not mind at all, man. Go ahead.
All right, cool. Well, let's talk about some left turns, all right?
All right.
So we didn't make any right turns. If you did, you were going into the wall on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, because we did not go on a road course. We were on the oval down in Miami, Florida. Yeah, people in Miami, you also have a racetrack. Some people don't know down there that they have a hockey team. But yeah, they also have racetrack down there, and it's a pretty interesting, entertaining race at my Homestead Miami Speedway. And so I'll go ahead and tell you who won. That way you're not saying, okay, just go ahead and say it. William Byron won the race.
Yes, he drives
a 24 car made famous by Jeff Gordon, right?
Of course.
So Hendrick guy won the race. It's not the Hendrick guy because that's Chase Elliott. And so, if you'd have told me that at the beginning of this NASCAR season that the first three cup winners would be Michael McDowell, Christopher Bell, and William Byron, I'd be like, there's no way.
Like, the way this NASCAR season started, I'm sure no one would have said that that way it would have gone.
No. And why I'm talking about it, and why he's fresh in my mind, let's talk about Michael McDowell for a second.
All right. Okay?
So this guy's gone from 14 years total career, not just in Cup Series, but back and forth in other series too.
Yeah.
Never won a race until this year. Okay. Never won, he finally won the 500, finally won a race in the Cup Series.
Yes.
Daytona 500. So pretty good sole race to win if he never wins another one, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he wins that. Then he started out awful on the road course. The first turn, he missed it, and he went way past the first left turn into the infield. But he still finished top 10, okay?
Yeah.
He finished really strong. And this week, he finished top 10. Dude's got three top 10s, including one win, okay?
Yeah.
On a guy that's not on a premier racing team, he's like third or fourth in points right now. That's crazy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive
that's
for sure.
That's awesome to see. And, because we talked about how he could easily just kind of ride in the back of the pack and take it easy until the playoffs. But once they got to the playoffs, he'd have to drive for his life to stay in because if he kind of took it easy, his points wouldn't be where they should be.
Right.
But right now, he's third or fourth in points in this.
Which is pretty surprising in itself, but it's also pretty good for him. It's kind of a chance for him to make a name of himself, just saying, hey, man, I've been racing this whole time. I've been okay, but now I'm trying to show you that, hey, man, I can be pretty good.
Yeah, and it's making his race team look better, too.
Yeah.
Because, that's Front Row Motorsports over there, and, people don't really know who Front Row Motorsports is,
Right.
I mean, they have him, and they have, I'm trying to think of the other guy. I know they have Anthony Alfredo, which is, just a fun name to say because if you're named after some pasta,
fun. That's pretty good there.
But, so they don't really have big names over there, And so I was joking with Parrish and James about it, talking about, it must be cheating over there, It must be something that engine's running a little bit better than it should, But James brought up a good point, and when I was talking to him about it, a lot of these races, they're not qualifying. They're starting grids based off points and stuff like that.
Right.
And as McDowell is running good, he's starting higher in the field,
Right.
He's starting up closer to the front.
That's true.
So he's not behind these really, how can I say this reverently, not as great race cars that just stay in the back, all the time.
Right.
That they have enough money for like one race car, and their crew chief says, I don't care where we finish, just don't wreck. It's that kind of racing team. Which if you're like that, you shouldn't be in a Cup Series. That's just what I'm saying. But they're out there to fill the field. They're just out there taking up space. But since he's not having to get around those guys and riding up front, maybe his talents will be shown a little bit better.
He's getting more
time on the camera, so who knows? So if he keeps this up, he'll be starting closer to the front. Like these non-qualifying races, at the qualifying races, he'll have to kind of prove himself here and there a little bit more.
Right.
But props to Michael McDowell for a pretty good career start. I know we're only three races in, but this is a career season so far.
Start for him,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's only a matter of time before Denny Hamlin turns it on.
It's
only a matter of time before Kevin Harvick turns it on. Because, how many times last year did I say either Denny Hamlin or Kevin Harvick won a race?
I would say pretty much as far as races we talked about in this podcast, pretty much every single time.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, it was like 85-90% of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We always do this fun little game where we pick two drivers, before the race. And I picked Kyle Larson and Tyler Reddick. And okay. Reddick came in second. I think Larson came in fourth or fifth. So they're both top five.
Yeah, both top five. So, just because both, yeah, pretty good picks there.
Both of those guys have tremendous history at Homestead. And it caused Reddick, people just automatically want to pick Reddick because he won two Xfinity championships at Homestead because he knows how to ride the track so good. And he almost won this one. He came in second. His last 10 laps or so, he was tearing it up. He was the fastest car on that track. Mm. If that race had been five more laps longer, he might have won the race. Who knows?
Who knows?
And I don't know if you know this, but this race last year, he thought the last lap, so they were on white flag, okay?
Right.
So he crossed the start finish and it was white flag, so that's one more lap.
Uh-huh.
He thought that was the checkered flag.
Oh, crap.
And so he's let off the gas. He's running second, I think. I can't remember exactly, so don't hold me to that. He's running really good, okay? He's up there. And he comes across the start finish line, lets off the throttle. He's like, good job, guys. Everybody pitched in and did all their best today.
Oh no!
And so in the race car, there's a button on the steering wheel so the driver can talk. You know how on a walkie talkie you have to hit a button to talk.
Uh-huh.
So while he's talking, he can't hear anything in his radio because he's talking like on a walkie talkie.
Right.
Because if two people try to talk on a walkie talkie, they're not going to hear each other at the same time. Uh-huh. Right. So while he's doing that, I need to let you see the audio. While he's doing that, his crew chief's like, "Go, go! It's the last lap. Go! We're not done."
Oh no!
And then he realizes that, and all of a sudden, wah! He just hits the throttle. And he still finishes, at least top 10. I can't remember.
What?
Right off. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he just had such a big lead on some people.
Oh,
but that,
wow.
Yeah, that was hilarious. But so he at least didn't do that this time.
Oh,
and
wow.
He came in second. And he had a pretty sweet looking car this weekend. He was driving the Cheddar's car with the croissants on it.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
Yes, it was.
And talking about cool schemes coming up in Las Vegas this week, Bubba Wallace is driving a Columbia car, like the PFG.
Oh.
And it's black and Carolina blue. Nice. So, it's a slick looking car.
I bet so.
And I gotta give Chase Briscoe a shout out real quick. He came from two laps down to finish in top 20, so that's not terrible. Mm-hmm. He's just got he starts out really good in some races and finishes not so great. Then he kind of does really good in the middle and has a chance and don't work out. This time he started out terrible and then he finished strong. So if he can kind of puzzle piece all these things together, he might get him a win this year.
So basically it's his consistency so far.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but he's finding new challenges every week.
Right.
Because he was a big fish in a small pond in the Xfinity series with Cindric and a couple other guys. Now he's a same size fish, but the pond's ginormous,
Right.
So he's just trying to find his way, and he's the rookie over there at Stuart Haas, so he's probably getting a little, he's probably had to build up the relationships there and things like that. But
I'm sure.
Just if he can piece it together, he might can get it. And as far as Parrish's boy, Eric Jones, bless his heart, he can't catch a break. I think somebody said where he had to go back to 30th or something like that. And somebody said somebody needs to take that car out back and shoot it because that car ain't driving worth anything. But hopefully he'll get it together too. But yeah, what a fun race. We got the race at Vegas coming up this weekend. And like I said, I think you got Bubba driving the Columbia car. People kind of go all out for the Vegas race, and that's the first of two races at Vegas, so that should be a fun race as well. But we got three winners that are already into the playoffs, and we'll see who comes out winning this weekend.
Yeah, man, I guess so. We'll have to see.
Yes, sir. All right, let's go over some NFL news. Not a lot of it. There's one big thing, but nothing, there's not a grocery list of NFL news. I'm saying grocery list because I'm fresh off a grocery run yesterday by myself. And
oh, really?
Yeah, don't get me to go to a grocery store by myself because I can do some unnecessary damage.
So,
oh, that looks good. That looks good. That looks good.
Yes.
Let's get this. But
I understand what you mean about that.
So we didn't have a lot of things, but we have this one major thing that happened Monday.
And surprisingly, it did not involve Watson this time.
No, and the name is not Deshaun Watson, which as of right now, don't look like anything's going to happen with that.
No.
Which is okay. We tried it. Well, at least we can say we tried. But anyway, J.J. Watt.
Yes.
Is an Arizona Cardinal.
Arizona Cardinals, man.
Yeah.
That was that was definitely surprising. I mean, not surprising in the fact, I'm totally shocked he went there.
Yeah, I'm not blindsided by it.
But surprising in the fact that it was someone that I could definitely see him going to there just because, you know, just, you know, like obviously from a scheme standpoint, it makes sense for them. But I was definitely with the main crowd. I was definitely thinking he would either go to Pittsburgh with his brothers or Green Bay, where he obviously went to college and grew up and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, like basically I was thinking he would go to a team that's a more guaranteed contender than the Cardinals. Like, that was basically what I thought. Like, I thought he was going to a team that was more of a guaranteed playoff team than the Cardinals.
This looks like I'm just here to have fun signing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which I'm not out. I'm not, you know, going ahead. I'm not trying to, you know, disavow the Cardinals by any means. But
no,
you got to think about that division, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, even though who knows what's happening with the Seahawks, because that's just a weird situation as is, where Russell Wilson says, I don't want to be traded, but if I were to be traded.
Yeah.
it's like telling your wife, I wouldn't want to marry anybody else, but if I did, that don't make no sense. That sounds terrible.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? So, yeah, just don't do that. But, I mean, you know, whatever's happening with that, on paper, you have the Seahawks and you have the Rams in that division.
Yeah.
And whatever San Francisco's doing, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not really sure what San Francisco's doing, but, you know, whatever.
You know, apparently they're trying to call about Teddy Bridgewater. I'm like, well, the Panthers need to pick up the phone. But anyway, going back to JJ, the only thing that I can think of is that he just wanted to play with Nuke Hopkins again.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, if that's the case, that's fine. I mean, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe he just likes the climate of Arizona where there's no humidity. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's really weird.
I mean, well, that was the main reason why I was, I guess surprised isn't really the right word. I guess I was just kind of puzzled more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, puzzled more than anything, because I'm like, out of all the teams you could have gone to, I just couldn't see the Cardinals being at the top of his list.
Yeah.
I mean, like, out of all the possible teams he could have gone to.
Because I saw it mentioned at the very beginning, like, the day he got released.
Yeah, like, the day he got released.
When they said, what if him and Hopkins team back up?
Yeah, well, like, with him and Hopkins team back up.
Yeah, but it's not realistic.
I mean, well, like, the reason, too, is that, okay, I understand he's been injured, but then again, so is J.J. Watt recently. I mean, obviously, this past season, he was like his first really injury-free season in a while. But the Cardinals already have Chandler Jones at defensive
end.
That's
the only defensive person I could name besides Simmons. Him and Jones, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, well, like, as far as a lockdown defensive end, I mean, obviously, I understand you have two defensive ends in most schemes that you run,
right?
One's like the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because when I ask defensive end Panthers, you're going to say Brian Burns, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And up until now, if you had asked me Houston Texans, I'd have said Watt, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like, I was just kind of puzzled that he went to the Cardinals. You know, compared to like teams like Pittsburgh. Obviously, Pittsburgh, I know, is, you know, Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh. I understand, but Pittsburgh would have made sense solely because he would have gotten to play with his brothers. So I guess he wanted to play with DeAndre Hopkins instead of his brothers. I don't know. I mean.
Well, who knows if Pittsburgh
may not be offering a contract, right? But
I just knew he was going to Cleveland. I could just see
really?
That happening. You, yeah.
Really?
I know you we talked about that. Cleveland? We talked about that on Monday. Just me and you texting.
Have him and Myles Garrett pair up on the edge?
Because I honestly thought that was his best chance to have a chance at a good playoff run.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, Steelers, maybe. But, I mean, Big Ben coming back one more year? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know about that
either.
But, you know, maybe Green Bay. But, you know, once you leave Wisconsin and realize there's places that aren't negative 16 degrees all year round, it's kind of hard to go back, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I never would have thought he would go to Arizona.
I mean, well, like, one of the things I will say is he did go to a team that actually does know who their quarterback's going to be next season in Kyler Murray. Like, obviously, unless the Cardinals change their mind and just go somewhere completely different, but I don't see that happening.
I doubt that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see that happening, but maybe that was another factor in his signing. You know, is that, like, at least I know who my, you know, at least I know who my quarterback's going to be, and I know who the number one wide receiver is, because I've played with them for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So you at least have that form of security. Yeah. And plus, the Cardinals' defense, it's obviously not nothing amazing, really. You got Chandler Jones, and obviously you got Isaiah Simmons, who can turn into something. And you got Buda Baker out there at safety.
Oh, yeah, you do.
But other than that, though,
Yeah.
There's really not much there.
And I'll never know the answer because I'll never see him in person asking. But if I could ask J.J. Watt, I'd be like, well, I mean, honestly, what was the selling point, really? You know?
Right.
Just because, if that's who you want to go play for, by all means.
For sure. I mean, hey.
He's getting plenty of money for a person his age and his, his stature and his health. So, I mean, that might have been the selling point, too.
Probably so.
But, I mean, yeah. That's just a very... I don't know,
this is very weird.
Yeah, very, very lukewarm reaction to this. You know, that's about the best way I can say it. And, while we're talking, I was talking about Big Ben being kind of old, Drew Brees, is he retired yet or what?
I honestly wish he would kind of make up his mind, to be honest with you. Because here's the thing. Whenever he was in the playoffs and they lost to Tom Brady, I thought, dude, that's literally the perfect way to go out.
Yeah.
You lose to the GOATs, a guy that you've been compared to your whole career, especially recently. So,
speaking of, he's the starting quarterback for the Chargers on 2K5. Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which is kind of weird because that seems to be like forever ago he was on the Chargers.
Yeah, he was first string. I know this is way off topic. He was first string, Doug Flutie's backup. And Philip Rivers is third string.
Philip Rivers was third string.
Yeah, he's a 58 overall in 2004.
Philip Rivers?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
On the positive side, Philip Rivers, because obviously they didn't have that many animation variances, so you could have probably actually played with Philip Rivers and actually completed a pass with them.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, just because in Madden,
with this one, he's throwing shot put.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so,
just because Madden 21, you kind of don't know where the ball's going to go.
Yeah, we don't know if Drew Brees is retired yet, folks. We really don't. We see that he is thinking it, and then we see him doing CrossFit and trying to train for something. But then he also has miraculously grown hair back. Usually when guys like that grow hair back, they're done,
Yeah.
So because Jason Witten went from bald head to hair plugs for Monday Night Football, and he's bald headed again for the Raiders. So we don't know what's going on. But, yeah, who knows? Yeah. But, yeah, J.J. Watt to the Cardinals, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a very
Hopefully mid-season, hopefully come October this year, we're like, oh, that was pretty good. Pretty good decision. So,
yeah.
Who knows? That's about all. Just like old boy on your calendar up here, I've spoken.
I have spoken. Yeah. All right, time for some Major League Baseball news.
You ready to knock it out of the park?
I am ready to knock it out of the park. And yes, I understood that reference.
There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so to start out, this isn't really like a stat story or a trade story or free agent story. This is just a feel-good story. How about this? I just wanted to kind of start off the baseball segment with something nice, considering last week I wasn't very reverent, as you pointed out, in the first part of this podcast. I wasn't reverent last week when talking about the Yankees. So instead, I'm going to talk about the Baltimore Orioles, particularly one of their players named Trey Mancini.
Okay.
Here, the past few years, he's kind of been Baltimore's franchise guy the last few years. It was Chris Davis. I'm not going to talk about that. But, I'm not going to talk about that. But anyway, Trey Mancini's been a big part of the Baltimore Orioles the last few years, ever since he made his big league debut in 2016. And really, when he started to contribute in 2017, he's been like the main cornerstone of that team. And just before the 2020 season started last year, the shortened season last year, just before that season started, he got diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that forced him to miss out on the entire season.
Yeah.
Because of chemotherapy and the treatments and all that kind of stuff, And obviously, because he's a pro athlete and he stays in shape and works out all the time, you don't feel too concerned, obviously, compared to other people, because you just feel like he's going to get through it, but obviously with cancer, you don't ever know,
mm-hmm.
Just to hear any person get cancer, it's a really big deal. So, like I said, he was forced to miss out on the entire 2020 season because of chemotherapy and his treatments to get better. Well, once the season was over, he announced that he was cancer-free just before spring training started. So that was obviously really great to hear.
Yeah.
And on Monday, his first game back in spring training, in his first at-bat, and keep in mind, the Baltimore Orioles are playing at their home spring training stadium, and fans can attend that. So that's kind of nice. But anyway, so in his first game in spring training, his first at-bat, he gets a standing ovation from the fans, takes off his helmet, tips his helmet to the fans, and that was a really cool moment, obviously, to see. You know, like, that's really cool just to see in general, but that's only the first part of it. In his first at-bat, obviously, I say he got a standing ovation, he hits a single in his first at-bat in spring training.
Nice.
And he, you know, gets to first base. You know, like, one nothing major, you know, obviously just the, you know, single to right center field. But just the fact that he did that, you know, came back from cancer, came back from the treatments, was able to come back and play, and was able to get a hit in his first at-bat spring training. I just thought that was a really cool story. You know, and obviously being a Red Sox fan, I've seen a lot of Trey Mancini, and he's broken my heart plenty of times. But I really like him as a person. Like, I just like Trey Mancini. He seems like a really nice dude. And when I heard he got cancer, I was really, you know, I was obviously kind of heartbroken about it, you know. Not just from a baseball standpoint, you know, but from a personal standpoint, too. You know, when you're anybody gets cancer, you're just kind of like, oh, man, that, you know, you just get that feeling, you know what I mean? But the good news, obviously, is that Trey Mancini was able to come back, got a standing ovation before his first at-bat, and he got a hit in his first spring training at-bat. So that was a really cool story to hear out of spring training. You know, obviously, Major League Baseball spring training is underway. As of this recording, the Red Sox did beat the Tampa Bay Rays. So that's another cool note for me just to add in there. But going back to Trey Mancini, I just thought that was really cool, and I just thought it really would be cool to share on this podcast.
That's
sure.
really cool, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, absolutely. But in other news, I want to talk about some things that the MLB had does in force for spring training. And this happens every spring training. This isn't anything new. It's what they call the mercy rule. I'm sure you obviously know what the mercy rule is. You know, but basically, whenever a team was up by 10 runs, by the fifth inning, they just call the game right then and there. So,
well, they should make it more interesting. You know what they should do?
Yeah, for sure.
They should make the opposing, the losing team's manager go out with a towel and wave it.
We quit. We quit. Mercy.
You know, and if you're not as convincing, that it's they get to, you have to throw an underhand to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Hey, cool. That would definitely be a very interesting rule to
add
into there for sure. You know, but speaking of interesting rules, that's not the only thing that they added for this year's spring training. Now, keep in mind, all these rules are just for spring training. They won't apply during the regular season, which is a good thing, at least in my opinion. So I'm fixing to share a few of those with you. So for spring training, if both managers agree, they will make games either 5 innings or 7 innings long. Now, this is not for the entirety of spring training. It's only for the first half of spring training.
Wow.
Just to kind of get guys gradually warmed up and kind of, you know, ready for the full-time grind. But
so you're telling me if me and you were managers were Red Sox, I was Braves manager.
Yes.
And it's spring training. We could go up and say, I could say, hey, Cody, what do you think about just a 5-inning game today? And you say, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
And then it would just be a 5-inning game?
Yes.
Just that simple?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there have been very few games of spring training that have gone past 7 innings. Like, obviously you have the occasional teams that will say, nah, we want to play 9 just to kind of get more guys, you know, get some more innings and stuff like that. But basically a lot of these games so far in spring training have only been 5 innings or 7 innings long, which is obviously very different and interesting. But yeah, I mean, like, I think at least for the first part of spring training, if not the entirety of spring training, I think that's kind of cool because it kind of gets your guys gradually back in ready to play. The only reason I would say maybe I don't like it is just because it gives less chances for your prospects to get more playing times. You know, for that, you know, because let's be honest, spring training isn't for the guys who are guaranteed to be on the big league roster. It's for all the guys who are going to be in the minor leagues or guys who are fighting to be on the opening day roster. You know, like, basically the same thing whenever you watch preseason
football. Yep.
Right, of course. You know, it's like, it's basically you're just watching guys trying to fight for final roster spots or fight for minor league spots, of course. You know, but as far as that rule goes, I think it's interesting. I think it's kind of cool just to kind of get guys gradually back into the swing of things.
I got it. I caught it.
Get it? Yep. The swing of things?
Okay. Uh-huh. I caught it. Can of corn.
Awesome. Cool. Hey, can of corn too. Nice. Can of corn too. Awesome. So that was something I thought that was very interesting. But there is one rule I wanted to mention. This is the reason why I wanted to bring this up. It is a rule that is going to be used for spring training. It is called rolling the inning.
Rolling?
Yes.
The inning.
Yes, rolling the inning. It can happen one time per game. Each team can do it one time per game. Basically what it is.
I think I know what it is.
Basically, okay, well.
But I might be way off.
All right. Well, what do you think it is?
It sounds like, and I have no idea.
Okay.
Just random guess.
Okay.
It sounds like you just skip that inning.
You're close.
Okay.
You're pretty close.
Okay.
Basically, what happens, the rule is, or it's not really a rule, it's something you can do, but they just have this in there in case teams want to do this, is that if you have a pitcher who's thrown at least 20 pitches in an inning, and you as the manager think he's just not doing very good that inning, and you don't want him to give up a bunch of runs, if he's over 20 pitches, the manager can walk out to the umpire and say, okay, hey, we just want to end this inning. Okay, we're done. You know, like, we're done with this inning. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It can be bases loaded, nobody out. It can be only one out into an inning or whatever. If the manager just feels that, like I said, if a pitcher has at least 20 pitches, if he feels like his pitcher can't get out of the inning, or he just doesn't want him to pitch anymore that inning and just wants him to pitch another inning, or he just wants to change pitchers or whatever, you know, without doing that whole process, then the manager of that team can basically just walk out there and say, okay, we're done with this inning. And they basically just act like the inning's over and they just move on.
So it can be bases loaded?
Yeah.
And they get no runs out of that?
Yeah.
Wow. No outs?
No outs.
Whoa.
As long as the pitcher has at least 20 pitches and the manager just doesn't want to pitch anymore, they have one time per game where the manager can say, nope, we're done.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I thought, I mean,
I figured it would be at least like you have to give up, like, you had to, the other team gets like a one run or two runs.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah. As long as the pitcher pitching has at least 20 pitches.
That's
like just, for that inning.
That's just for spring training, right?
Yes.
Good. Good.
Yes.
I would be so mad if yes. that was a regular season.
Yes. And trust me, as soon as I found out this rule, I was like, okay, please don't tell me this is going to be for the regular season because this is going to be terrible. Awful. But no, the good news is it's only for spring training. And Neil, you're going to laugh how I found this out.
Did your Red Sox do it?
My Red Sox did it. We signed Garrett Richards. I think I told him last. I think I told you guys this last week. We signed Garrett Richards. He used to be a San Diego Padres pitcher, and safe to say, he was not having a very good inning. And then our manager Alex Cora came out and pulled the plug, and he didn't pitch any more that inning. And then he came out that next inning and got the batters 1-2-3.
Wow.
That very next inning. But that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't pulled the plug in that inning.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm definitely not a fan of that rule at all, to be honest with you. But the good news is that, like I said, it's only going to be during spring training, and I'm pretty sure it's not even going to last the entirety of spring training.
Good.
Like, it's only for this first half of spring training, like I said, just to kind of get guys gradually back into the grinds of spring training and eventually the regular season whenever that starts.
Gotcha.
Which is good, but I just thought it was very interesting to bring this up, because once I found out that last rule, especially once I found out that existed, I had to talk about it because I just thought it was so weird random. So.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, man.
Malik Monk darts inside. Got fouled. Scoring! Hunt Diddley-Dee! A free throw for the win!
How about them Hornets? Last weekend against the Sacramento Kings, they had another miracle at midnight against the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, can we have miracles before midnight? Because I don't want to watch these, Cody. Okay, I can't stay up for 10 o'clock tip-offs, dude. I'm tired of this West Coast road trip.
Well, the good news is that by the time this podcast comes out, the first half of the season will be over, and we'll be going to the All-Star break. But as far as games that start at 10 o'clock, that's over because the Hornets, as of this recording, played the Trailblazers last night. They unfortunately lost to them.
Yeah.
But they only have one more game before this first half ends against the Timberwolves, and that game's at 8 o'clock.
Oh, good.
So that one is definitely going to be available to watch. So that one's going to be nice.
When's that one this week?
What?
When's the Minnesota game?
Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
Yes.
Cool.
Obviously that game will be over by the time this episode comes out. You know, but as of this recording, the game hasn't happened yet.
Well, I'm glad it's at 8 because that means we can get out of church and be home in time to watch it.
Right.
That's good to see. And it's the Timberwolves, who's probably right now the most disappointing franchise in the league, to say the least.
Well, since you brought that up, they are ranked number 30 in the power rankings, if you were wondering.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of course.
No surprise there.
Of course, yes. But, Neil, as far as the Charlotte Hornets go, power rankings, we are ranked number 17.
Okay.
So we have, staying, yeah. you know, so we're staying in that 16, 17 range. We kind of have been all year.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we've kind of been right at 500 and below 500 about all season. So you kind of expect us to be the same. But the Charlotte Hornets are playing some pretty good basketball, man. I've really enjoyed watching the games in this West Coast trip when I can.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, like whenever I watch them play, I'm really enjoying the team chemistry. I really enjoyed the fact that we beat the Kings. And I understand the Kings aren't like a top 10 team or anything like that. You know, but the fact that the Hornets go out there and win a game without Devontae Graham, mm-hmm. Gordon Hayward, or Cody Zeller in the starting lineup is very impressive and very nice to see.
P.J. Washington waved to the haters that night too, didn't he?
P.J. Washington had an
amazing... What, he had 42 points?
I'm pretty sure he had 42 points, which was by far a career high for him.
Yeah.
And what was funny is I heard Eric Collins and Del Curry, you know, the commentators for the Hornets, talking about this right when he got a new career high in points, that his previous career high was on the first game he ever played as a professional.
Wow.
With the Hornets. He scored 27 points. That was his previous career high. Mm-hmm. And then he scored 42 against the Kings.
Yeah.
So I'd say he definitely got past that career high by a lot.
Mm-hmm. And even though they lost to the Blazers the other night, you know, what was really cool to see after that was Carmelo and LaMelo.
That was
awesome.
That was very cool to see. Like, that was very cool to see the old Melo. Pretty much everyone calls him Melo because he is Melo. But then you have, you know, Carmelo Anthony and LaMelo Ball. You got both of them coming together and swapping jerseys. And I thought that was really cool to see, but that happened. Plus, it's honestly good to still see a guy like Carmelo Anthony be really good in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of guys have written him off the last couple years. Obviously, when he played for Houston, but especially when he went to Portland, mm-hmm. everyone kind of wrote him off. But it was kind of good to see him have a really good game last night against the Hornets. You know, like, just for him personally, just to kind of see that for him.
They kind of ran away with it at the end. And I think we're just a few defensive breakdowns, you know. I think that really is what started the momentum swing to Portland's end.
Absolutely.
Was just a couple breakdowns on defense by Charlotte. And it happens. I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They had a very, very busy road trip and came out.
Yes.
Pretty good. Okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not disappointed in the road trip at all. And they're on the way back, and they'll have Minnesota. Hopefully they don't lose to Minnesota. That wouldn't be too good. But, I mean, like we said here weeks and weeks on, they play so well together. They really do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The chemistry is definitely there.
As far as the team chemistry goes, this Hornets team is probably one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
As far as this team chemistry goes. And just seeing them play together, you can tell that they just know what each other is going to do. They play off each other really well, and it's really nice to see.
And, you know, what's really cool, and I was talking to some buddies, and they even brought it too, and I noticed it when I saw the highlight of the audio we just played. That was on Fox Sports South, by the way. And where Malik went up for the layup.
Yeah.
You know who was right there for the rebound just in case? Melo.
Yeah.
He was down low, ready for it.
Yeah.
So in the situation of there being a missed layup and a no call, he was there for a putback to tie the game up. So that's just cool to see that we have guys crashing the boards like that. You know, point guard crashing the boards like that. Okay.
Right.
I love it. And, you know, I almost try to stay reverent, but we need somebody besides Bismack Biyombo.
Well, that was going to be basically my only criticism, and not just Biyombo, you know, but just our defense underneath the basket, dude.
Yeah.
We got exposed by a couple of teams, but if there's one team I can say that exposed our rim defense, it would be the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
They had so many dunks in that game.
Sorry, I was very far away from my phone. Yes.
They had so many dunks in just that one game against Golden State. It was ridiculous, and I'm just sitting here watching this game. And, like, obviously before that game, I knew that our defense against the basket wasn't great.
Yeah.
But seeing those dunks, I'm pretty sure that just Kelly Oubre in the first quarter had 6 dunks.
Yeah.
It was just Kelly Oubre, let alone the other dunks that they had, let alone by other players in the first quarter and throughout the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see that many dunks, you know, just seeing that is – we've already mentioned that a couple times on this podcast, that if the Hornets would just get a more consistent big man who defends under the rim, we would be way better than we already are.
DeMarcus Cousins.
That's exactly what I said last week. I brought up DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know why the Hornets haven't even talked to him on the phone yet or done anything to him yet. Me personally, I think we should do it. If nothing else, just for depth.
Yeah.
Like, if nothing else, just to have some more depth at the big man. You know, what's funny is that obviously watching his last few games, we haven't seen Cody Zeller play because he's been hurt.
Right.
P.J. Washington plays better center than Bismack Biyombo does sometimes.
I might play better center than Bismack. Oh, no, I won't go that far. I won't go that far. No, retract. But, you know,
just seeing it, it's just, yeah.
Well, and then talking about, you know, they did really well on their road trip. They did, you know, they did decent. They'll be home for a little while here soon.
Yes.
Hopefully, we'll be able to go to a game.
Hopefully so, yes.
We'll see. There's no telling what the price is going to be or like that. I would love to see that team in person. Absolutely. But, you know, talking about DeMarcus Cousins is a perfect segue to somebody else down in Houston that apparently don't want to stick around.
Yes.
And he hadn't even been there that long.
Oh, I know. And for those of you listening who can kind of think back for just a little while ago, a little over a month ago, when a trade happened for a player named James Harden, mm-hmm. part of that trade was the Indiana Pacers trading Victor Oladipo, you know, which is basically their main cornerstone guy, to the Rockets, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of take that superstar place of James Harden in a way.
Right.
Well, it turns out the Houston Rockets did offer him a 2-year, $45 million contract extension because this season is the last year of his contract, of his 4-year, $85 million contract. They tried to offer him a 2-year, $45 million extension, and he turned it down, according to sources, saying that he wants just obviously a longer contract, mm-hmm. which I'm sure that's part of it, obviously, because he's only 28, so he's in his prime right now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he wants a longer contract, but I just think he just doesn't want to stay in Houston.
No.
I was about to say, like, it makes sense why he doesn't want to stay in Houston because, once again, I'm going to talk about the power rankings. You know me, I'm a power rankings person around here. The Houston Rockets are ranked number 29 in the power rankings, right above the Timberwolves.
Just a shade above Minnesota.
And as of this recording, they have lost their last 12 games.
Ooh.
They are 11-22. They were 11-10, and they've lost their last 12 in a row.
Jeez.
So that's obviously, I'm sure, another reason why Victor Oladipo is not too big of a hurry to sign a contract extension with the Houston Rockets. But with that being said, could this possibly be another trade deadline deal? Could we see Victor Oladipo traded for a second time this season to someone else?
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean,
it wouldn't surprise me. I'll say that.
If he turns down an extension, that means he's playing on an expiring deal, which henceforth prime trade bait, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Who knows, man?
Just considering how bad the Rockets have played, it just makes sense to me.
All I can say is, and this is probably the last thing I have to say about it, all I can probably say is, if you are listening to this show and you are a free agent in a professional sporting world, okay, I don't think Houston's a good fit for anybody right now, apparently.
No.
J.J. Watt would rather play in Arizona than Houston.
Yeah.
Okay? Deshaun Watson wants out.
Yeah, okay? Wants out of Houston.
Russell Westbrook wanted out.
Yeah.
James Harden wanted out. Okay?
Apparently so did George Springer from Houston Astros. He wanted out as well.
He wanted out. And, you know, who knows what Astros are still doing. So, I don't think going to Houston would be good for anybody's career right now.
No, probably not. You know, well, like as far as just big-time superstar players, Houston's definitely not the place to be right now for really any professional team right now in sports.
The best thing they had going for them was the Houston Roughnecks, and that got kicked out because of COVID. So who knows if they'll come back when the XFL comes back, but maybe that'll revitalize the city of Houston because right now they don't have a problem. You know, like Houston, we have a problem. They have Houston, we got a lot of problems.
Yes.
So we'll see.
As of right now, yes.
But I think that's a good place to end. That's a good show, Cody.
It was, man. I enjoyed it.
And I forgot to mention one thing in NASCAR, and then I'll let you give out our minor league baseball team of the week.
All right.
And I forgot to mention it was, you know, it's always cool to see guys win in NASCAR and go crazy, you know, because Byron didn't win until the very, very last race of the regular season last year. And now we're three races in and he's already won a race, you know? And so he got out of the car and I'm somewhat borrowing this, somewhat taking this, but quoting this from another podcast, from Door Bumper Clear podcast. Okay. But it was really cool because, you know, and I mentioned, and I thought it was cool too, that Byron thanked God as soon as he got out of the car. You know, that was the first thing he wanted to do was thank God
yes.
for allowing him to be in that situation. And this is where I'm getting this from Door Bumper Clear, where Brett Griffin said, you know, used to in NASCAR, if you want a race, you always thank the three G's. Okay, so we think 3G, we think like phone signal. But yeah. These are the three G's. You know what the three G's are? Don't you think in NASCAR when you win a race, Cody?
What are they?
You thank God, you thank Gatorade, and you thank Goodyear.
Those Goodyear, are the three G's. Yes.
So if you ever hear me say, I thank God, thank Gatorade, thank Goodyear, I'm just happy to be here and thanking the three G's. Okay?
Okay.
So
I just wanted
to mention that before we hit the stop button today. So
that's pretty cool.
Who is our minor league baseball team of the week?
Our team of the week this week is the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
The Trash Pandas.
The Trash Pandas. The Rocket City Trash Pandas. They have been a team since 2020.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of funny.
Well, bless their heart.
I was about to say, which is kind of funny considering the last minor league team I talked about was the oldest minor league team.
Yeah.
This is one of the newest minor league teams. They have been a team since 2020. They were founded in 2020 under the Los Angeles Angels. They are in the AA South. Okay. You know, thanks to the new minor league alignment, they're in the AA South. They are a AA team for the Los Angeles Angels. And
for anybody wondering, a trash panda is a raccoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For those of you who were curious as to what a trash panda is, because I honestly was as well. You know, I was like, what's a trash panda? But then when you look at their logo, it's actually really cool.
Yeah, it is a cool logo.
It is a pretty cool logo. It's basically a raccoon in a trash can with the trash can lid as his like hat or whatever. But the side of the trash can has, like, the rocket jets, and he's going up like a rocket. So it's pretty cool.
So it says Rocket City. Where are they located?
They are located in, surprisingly, not Houston.
Yeah.
But they are located in Madison, Alabama.
Madison, Alabama.
Which is honestly kind of far away for a AA team that's in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But just in case you were curious, they obviously did not play last year because
right.
we didn't have a minor league season last year. So 2021 will actually be their
inaugural season. Awesome.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, for sure. And their colors are red, blue, gray, white, and black. The name of their mascot is Sprocket, and their stadium is Toyota Field.
Oh, Toyota.
Their general manager is Garrett Farman, and their manager is Jay Bell.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool deal. Well, maybe, just maybe, the Rocket City Trash Pandas will play the Rocky Mountain Vibes.
Hey.
And that would be the top two logos in minor league baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Facing off against each other.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
I still need to get me a Vibes hat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Well, that's our show. Y'all have a great That was our show. Y'all have a great rest of your week. I said it right that time, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
You can keep that in just to, you know, show people that I'm human and not perfect like they think. I'm just perfect looks, perfect skill, you know, perfect everything. I'm not. So calm down, everybody.
Well, I'm not either. Trust me.
But y'all can find us on social media. Just search Reverent Babble Podcast. Y'all can see all the timestamps down below to kind of jump back and forth to each segment. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcast, iTunes, whatever they call it.
And, you know, please leave a voice message for us, too, because we honestly want to hear what you have to say about certain sports topics.
Yeah, absolutely, because we would love to hear your takes. We'd love to hear reactions on things. And, you know, this just to make an announcement, this is a Christian podcast, okay? So just, you know, if you do so and say some words, it's not going to get played. Just going to let you know that.
No.
But leave us a review. Let us know what you think. If you want to leave a family-friendly voice message, please go to anchor.fm/reverentbabble. You can record a message up to 1 minute, I believe.
Yes.
And just put in your email, and it'll go straight to our account. But y'all have a good rest of your week. We will see y'all next time. Bye.